testing of our faith develops perseverance. Because we're going to see in verse 4, perseverance is indispensable. I can't skip that lesson and graduate. It's just indispensable. If I'm going to grow up, God's view of a completed me is that perseverance has its complete work in me. So I need perseverance to be developed. That happens by the testing of my faith. Develop. Great word. Here's the things that I love about this word. It's a word of process. It's growth and development. That's why I like the example of building muscles. You know, when I'm 12 years old, you know, skinny little blonde-headed kid, looking in through the back of my Marvel comic book, and I see this picture of this guy, big muscle guy, saying, you know, send in 25 cents and, you know, get your muscle kit, which turned out to be a rubber band with two sticks on the end of it, a big rubber band, but I thought, I want muscles like that. Yeah, well, you know what? That guy didn't get those muscles by paying 25 cents for a couple of sticks and a rubber band. And he didn't get it by sitting around. Somebody gave Wayne that Richard Simmons video of Sweating to the Oldies as a joke. And Wayne said, you know, I listened to that thing for hours and I'm not getting any thinner. That's the way a lot of people are. Oh, I want to be a strong Christian. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'd love to pray with you, but Oprah's on right now. Or, you know, Survivor Las Vegas is on or something else, you know. It's too much effort. So the word develops means that, here's the word, what the word katergatsomai means. It means to work something out fully. In fact, I think one of the translations, maybe the Old King James, says that testing of our faith worketh perseverance. Develops tells me that it is a process. That's good news, I think. It was confusing to me. Well, again, if you weren't raised in the kind of church I was, the kind of church I was raised in, it was sort of an unspoken thing that, look, if you really were a person of faith, you wouldn't have any problems. You wouldn't be struggling with this. And so you get a bunch of people that are not honest about their struggles, they're not honest about their failures because everyone looks down on them, and that's not healthy, and it's wrong. When I realized that it's development, that the whole being a person of faith is going to take a while. I'm going to have to run through a bunch of trials. I'm going to flop on some of them. Thank God for makeup tests. But if I hang in there and I face the testing of my faith properly, what's going to happen over time is that perseverance is going to be developed. Perseverance is developed by persevering. I wrote, period. There is no fast forward button when that's what you're learning. Testing of our faith develops perseverance. I can't tell you how meaningful it was to me the first time that I saw verse 4. And it solved a dilemma that I've been having for years and years and years and years of my life. It made sense of something. Why did the same circumstance keep happening? I was praying as hard as I could. I was believing as hard as I could. I had hands laid on me. I did all the stuff you're supposed to do, and it was not changing. I prayed all the magic prayers. I read the Prayer of Jabez book. I did all the stuff. I had even people that were better prayers than me pray, and it wasn't changing. And I did not realize that that's normal if what God is developing is perseverance. If I only see faith in God as a means to change things, I'm only seeing part of the picture. Faith in God is that I trust what he's doing, especially important when he doesn't change things. There's no five-step easy tape course that you can take to develop perseverance. There's no, and nobody automatically has it. I don't know what I expected. I know that I had a lot of funny ideas. I know that I expected that, you know, hands could be laid on me and then, you know, I would have great faith and perseverance. Well, you know, that's not the way faith comes, the Bible tells us. It comes from hearing God's word. But first, perseverance here is developed simply by persevering under trial. And let's look at this word. And then we'll read verse 4, and I'm just right about on schedule. Perseverance. It's translated in some of the older English translations as patience. And I think that I don't personally like that translation because there's a lot of other words that are translated as patience, and they have different meanings. This, I think, is a stronger word than patience. It's translated endurance. That's better. Steadfastness, I think that's even better. The Greek word, the noun, perseverance, is hupomeno. It's hupomeno, one word. Hupomone is the verb, right? Oh, I got it backwards? Okay. Noun and verb. It means to abide under, literally. If you break it down to its component parts, it means to abide under. The layman's translation of perseverance would be to hang in there under pressure. So, how do you learn to hang in there under pressure? Oh, listen to those 5 tapes. Take that course. Have hands laid on you. No, you got to be under pressure and hang in there. That's how it's developed. See, here was my pattern. I have really good running away muscles. I'm really good at that. In fact, my threshold of how much I would put up with would be stretched a little farther, but ultimately, if things got too bad, I would just run away. And of course, before long, you know, God being my buddy and everything and me wanting to please God, I'd find myself in the exact same stinking situation where I was under pressure and I couldn't get out of it and I'd run away again. And after a while, the Lord says, you know, we're just going to, how long do you want to keep doing this? We're going to keep doing this. And when I saw James 1:4, it made sense of this when it says perseverance must finish its work for you to be complete, not lacking anything. It has to finish. It's a process, and you're cutting the process off before it's done. God wants to grow you up. So he's going to keep running us through that course. But I didn't sign up for that course. Well, in a way you did, son. I know your heart. I know you want to be a person that trusts me no matter what. But do you know that to be a person that trusts me no matter what, you got to have some what's happened to you? You're going to have to hang in there under pressure. If I come and sweep all the dust off of your path, that isn't how that's going to be developed. Hanging in there under pressure. Perseverance is listed in Galatians 5 as fruit of the Holy Spirit, meaning it's the Holy Spirit that produces it. I don't have it. I can't produce it myself. He will produce it. But here's the... This is the illuminating part of these verses to me. This is how he does it. It's different than I thought. It's like praying for God to give you more faith. Oh, God, I want more faith. Oh, you want more faith? Well, here, let's just let me turn a little faith faucet on here. We'll just give you more faith. Oh, we'll give you an injection. Or, you know, go over to the revival, you know, have the guy lay hands on you and you'll have more faith. That isn't the way it happens. Trusting God more means you have more entrusted to him, which involves means you have less control. We don't like that. And if all of our faith is aimed at changing things, we're never going to get this perseverance thing. Perseverance, verse 4 says, must finish its work. It's indispensable if I'm going to be fully developed. I'm sorry, it's very embarrassing to me how late it was in my life before I connected the dots. between the stuff that God brought in my life that wouldn't change no matter how hard I prayed, and the development of perseverance. I did not connect those things at all. I thought I was doing it wrong. He says, no, you're just looking for the wrong thing to measure your progress. I looked at things changing as the proof that I had the victory. How do you measure your progress when you're praying for things to change? Well, are they changing? Like you said, you know, you see something and somebody you love and wow, thank you, God. I've been praying for years and now I'm seeing some progress. That's the way we normally are. But what if the thing that God's doing in your life is to develop perseverance? That means that to pass that test and develop those muscles, things have to not change. And of course, once I understand that, it's a lot easier to deal with. But I didn't understand it for years. I misunderstood it completely. I thought I was doing something wrong. And he's saying, no, you're passing the test, son, because you haven't run away. You're still hanging in there. Keep doing that. It'll only last so long. I heard a great story. I've told it before. I couldn't find it to read it, so I'm going to try to tell it the way I remember it. About a guy who dearly loved God, felt like he had absolutely no worth to God's kingdom. And one morning, in his devotions, Jesus comes and sat in his bed and said, John, I have a great work for you to do. And John just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever. Just tell me what it is. He said, you know that big boulder out in your backyard? Every morning, I want you to get up. I want you to go out and push on that boulder for 2 hours every morning. And he says, that's it? He says, yeah. So every morning, faithfully, John got up, you know, had his breakfast, went outside, pushed on that boulder for 2 hours. He did that for weeks without being discouraged. But the longer that he went, the more discouraged he got because it wasn't moving. And after a while, he started feeling like a failure. And then he was afraid to talk to God. He was afraid to have devotions because he thought, God has got to be really disappointed in me. He gave me this job to move this boulder, and I'm, you know, we're doing it as hard as I can. What's wrong with me? So he started lifting weights and getting more strength. And he'd go out and he did this faithfully. And after a couple of months, he was so discouraged, he wouldn't even do it anymore. In fact, after a while, he wouldn't even get out of bed. And one morning when he's sitting there in bed feeling like a total failure, Jesus came and sat on his bed with a big smile. He said, hey, friend, you look really discouraged. What's the matter? And he said, oh, man, I hate to tell you, but I failed in that great work that you gave me to do. I have not moved that boulder one inch. And Jesus started laughing. And Jesus said, I didn't ask you to move the boulder. I just ask you to push on it. That isn't the great work I have for you to do. That was to prepare you for the great work that I have for you to do. Look at the muscles that you have. Now you're ready. You haven't failed. Now you're ready. Isn't that a great story? If your view of trusting God and having faith is just to make things change, We often are looking in the wrong direction. Should we want God to change things that are bad? Absolutely. Should we trust him to do that? Absolutely. But what James is saying is that that process of hanging in there under pressure has to finish its work. And the only way that that's going to happen is when things don't change. I personally think this is so important. I think this is important because if you made a pie chart of my life and all the stuff God's worked on in my life, 3/4 of that pie chart would be working on perseverance. Years and years and years and years and years. You know what? I've often wondered in the last 5 years if the reason God spent so much time on that was just for the last 5 years that have been so hard, which people who know me, my family, have said, Bobby, you are not the same person you used to be. We can't believe you're still there. You haven't run away. And I think, yeah, why is that? Why do I get up with splitting headaches when I can't hardly think and you know, I drive to a small Bible study and teach the Bible with joy in my heart? Why do I do that? Why do I keep hanging in there? I have muscles that I didn't have. I didn't sign up for the course. I flunked the course 100 times. This passage helped me to understand I can't get from point A to point B of being fully developed without the perseverance thing finishing in its work. God wants it to finish its work. Here's another thing I noticed that I do. I have often tried to pray. I've often prayed to try to get God to take away or to change the very things that he allowed in my life to answer another prayer that I forgot I prayed. I'm in a situation that's painful and I want out of it. I'm saying, oh God, please get me out of here. God, please change this. Please change this. And God is saying, well, man, remember when you asked me to make you a man of faith? Well, that's why I allowed this in your life. This is the testing of your faith that's going to develop perseverance. So I can't answer both those prayers. Which one do you want? You want the immediate gratification of me making this all better and then having to do the test later on, maybe, where you're going to grow? Do you understand? I found myself asking God to take away stuff that he brought in his love to make me strong. I want to be strong. You know what I mean? Oh, God, take it away. God, take it away. God, take it away. And he says, well, I can't answer that and answer the other one. So I'll tell you what I'll do, son. I'll answer the most important one of those two prayers. And the most important one is perseverance must finish its work for you to be complete, mature, not lacking anything. So we're just going to let this hang just like it is for a while until perseverance finishes its work. But see how the change of perspective changes everything? Now all of a sudden I feel like this isn't changing because I don't have any faith. I'm a weenie. I'm doing it wrong. And all of a sudden I'm understanding, no, it's not supposed to change yet. I'm supposed to push on the boulder. It doesn't have to move. That's not what it's about. It's about perseverance. It's about muscles being developed in perseverance. Isn't that good stuff? It helps me. So that you may be complete, not lacking anything. Must finish its work. Can I promise you something? I'll just pass on what God's promised me. Your trial, my trial, will not last 1 minute longer than it takes for God to do the good work he wants to do. I mean, you can call it quits by running away if you want to, but you just have to go through it again because your Father loves you and he loves me and he's going to grow us up. But it won't last 1 minute longer than it has to. That's good news. The bad news is it won't last 1 minute shorter either. He's going to work it out the length of time that it needs to be to do his good purpose. He's doing it with a smile on his face because he loves us. I will admit that when I understood what these few verses were saying, if I can keep that in the front of my mind, I understand why James wrote this. He said, you guys out there in Gentile land, you feel like your whole lives are out of control. Other people are making decisions. 60% of the body of Christ at the time James wrote this were slaves. They were not masters of their own destiny. They were not Americans. Talk about feeling like your life's out of control. James starts out the letter saying, no, you're playing it on purpose. You're right where you're supposed to be. God put you there. Oh, you know that stuff that's happening that you hate, that boss you hate, this, you know, the reversal that you had, blah, blah, blah. He said, God's working on that too. And don't worry, it's indispensable. You got to have those muscles of hanging in there under pressure. So don't worry if it doesn't change right away. Just keep trusting God. And that to me is good news. And I'll tell you, it's I ate it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for many years in the hardest trial I've ever had. You know the fabulous thing also about it, as I was thinking about that song, In the Shelter of Your Presence, is that that's real. God doesn't leave us. God doesn't just say, okay, hope I see you in heaven. Good luck. No, he's right there with us every step of the way. It's his presence that makes it endurable. I think, which is why it breaks my heart when I see people going through hard times and they're not around fellowship. They're not pressing into Jesus. And I'm thinking, you won't make it. How will you survive? So next week, we'll look at the whole thing of wisdom in trial. What do I do? Well, some of the wisdom is in these first four verses. Just see it correctly. Just keep in mind that God's up to something that's worth doing. Hang in there. Don't give up. But there are other things that we'll look at about wisdom next week, and it gets better and better. We've got six parts to chapter one. So we'll be here a while. Let's pray. Lord, I love it when you turn the lights on when I'm in the dark and you help me to see what's really going on. And I love it when you straighten out my thinking so that in something that used to be a horrible trial and burden to me, all of a sudden makes me smile. And I realize the very things I'm trying to get out of there were given to me by the most loving heart in the universe for my good, to give me what it is I really want. So thank you for showing us your ways. Help us to see it, Lord, in all of the trials, the trials du jour that are going to hit us every day because we live in a fallen world or because our enemy hates our guts or because we do dumb things or other people do dumb things. Thank you for Romans 8:28, Lord. All of that stuff is construction materials to you, art supplies to you. You are working it all together for our good. I want endurance muscles, Lord, patience, perseverance. I need it. Thank you for signing me up for the class when I was too chicken to do it myself. Bless these dear ones, Lord, all those that are hearing these words. I pray the Holy Spirit would amplify them and apply them, and that the truth would set us free. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.